Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Greetings and blessings to everybody.
And Father Matt.
Hello, everyone.
Tonight we're going to talk about faith and pop culture. Thought we'd do a little bit lighter topic since we've had some rather heavy-hitting topics the last couple of weeks, so I thought we'd do something a little bit different. Faith in movies, television, music, books, whatever you want to bring up, whatever our panel here wants to discuss.
And whatever our studio. The popcorn.
Yeah, we don't have any popcorn tonight, so it's that makes it a little more difficult. But and whatever our studio audience on YouNow and TikTok bring up as we go along. But there are plenty of references to faith and pop culture. You don't have to watch a show or a movie or listen to music very long before you hear some reference to something faith-related. Quite a few of us here on the panel, I think all of us to some degree, are sci-fi nuts, and so we definitely have faith represented in sci-fi shows and movies. Even in some of the most futuristic ones, you know, faith has not gone away. It might be smaller. There may not be as many people that believe as there used to be. But even in those futuristic type shows, there's still a certain amount of faith there. Shows like DS9 show that. And where they're set further into the future than we're at right now. So I'm going to open up the floor first off and start with Reverend Mark. What is your favorite faith and pop culture combination?
I would have to say, and this will sound odd because the creator of this series purposely pulled out, wanted to create a world or an environment to where, quote unquote, it was a godless type setup, but it never truly got away from that, which would be Star Trek.
Right.
Star Trek's my all-time favorite, anything to watch. Next to Star Wars, but Star Trek definitely wins out. And even in the original series, they tackled faith in some of the episodes. I remember one time distinctly arguing with a friend of mine, which I really found it quite humorous.
Right.
Where they, you know, they pitched that idea. So I can't believe that you watch Star Trek. This is another fellow person of faith. I can't believe that you watch Star Trek. Don't you know that the, and when as soon as they said, "Don't you know?" I was like, "Oh, this will be good because I probably know a little bit more than you when it comes to Star Trek." I've been only been watching it since 6 years old.
Right.
And there's like, "Don't you know that the creator wanted to create a godless environment, and more so they wanted to create an environment that was open to more than just centering it on particular on a faith, on a religious belief or spirit. They wanted to encompass a whole spiritual, scientific, the human condition, everything." And I was like, well, that might be your perception of it, but what he was talking about was what I just described. And yes. So I quoted a few episodes where there were obvious references to God, and not just God in general, but specifically the, you know, Jehovah, Hebraic, Christian, Judeo-Christian God. And and so it went around with a story just beautifully. So right. I don't have a problem necessarily with movies, TV shows being involved and asking questions if it's done in a respectful way. I always felt Star Trek did that because it was very much about an exploration of not just space or science, but it was an exploration of, again, the human condition.
Right. Bishop Ben, what's your favorite intersection of faith and pop culture?
Well, Star Trek is one because I like what Mark was referencing. You know, I remember one episode where Worf was talking about his faith and his culture, which was the memory of Kalis.
Right.
You know, so you know, you got to think that there's other deities and other gods out there. You know, hey, works for me.
Right. Reverend, or Father Matt?
This is going to sound a little unusual, but one of my favorite book series, even though faith is not explicitly discussed in it, you definitely see a person's inner faith being able to carry them through the series, and that would be The Hunger Games, because you have all these different events going on and being thrown into literally a pit. And as the trilogy goes on, gladiator style events. And really the only person you can depend on is yourself and whatever inner fortitude, as well as what your outside beliefs are to carry you through.
Very good. Well, for myself, it tends to be a combination of several different ones, Star Trek, Star Wars, and Stargate, all those stars together. And all three have forms of faith in them, whether it's, false gods of the Gul'uld in Stargate, or the Ori, or whether it's the Emissary and DS9, Star Trek DS9, or whether it's the Jedi and the Sith and Star Wars. There's all kinds of combinations of faith and various different practices and ways of looking at it in those three series.
That Star Wars even introduced the Trinitarian formula in the Clone Wars children's series with the father, the daughter, and the son. So.
That's right. And showed how that they were able to, for a long time, maintain balance in the universe because of their, you know, unique Trinitarian unique Trinitarian form that they had.
What's interesting with Star Wars, along those lines, and it's explored a little bit in the movies, where the light, you know, the Jedi, who tend to embrace the light, had lost their way, and they had lost their way in such a manner to where they were turning, and they were turning an ear, they were turning their face away from the suffering that was going on around them. They became very, and it's quite interesting because it very much parallels where we are right now with the church,
right,
and the Christian church in America, where they were going along with whatever the, and this is fleshed out a little bit more in the series and some of the small, the little mini episodes that they're putting out over the last little bit, where they're exploring how the Jedi are becoming more politically minded and subservient to the government, versus holding up their ideals.
Right.
And it throws out a lot of questions. It throws out a lot of stuff. And in some of the books, the canonical books for Star Wars, you know, they talk about embracing balance, and balance not just being, you know, being emotionless and all that stuff, but, you know, tempering your emotions and so forth. So it's quite interesting, especially now when you, again, see the interaction with the church and the government and sanctioning, you know, basically replacing God and the Holy Spirit with the will of whatever the government wants.
Right.
So I think a lot of that should be reconsidered and thought about. And yeah.
When we see how well that combination of spirituality and and faith worked out for them, because ultimately the Jedi got completely in bed with the Empire, only to turn around and have Order 66,
yeah,
which eliminated the majority of the Jedi. So, you know, that kind of did not go well for them. It won't go well for other faiths and traditions as they continue to be in bed with these, you know, various political factions. But that's another matter entirely for another day. I did have to say I liked how well, and it was almost through the entire series of DS9, where we have this idea of faith that runs through just about the whole series. We get to see the Bajoran faith, you know, the whole idea of the Celestial Temple and you know, the, I can't remember what they were called in the wormhole, the prophets, which spoke routinely to Captain Sisko, Commander first, and then Captain Sisko, which I thought was rather interesting because it was probably the first time any real science fiction type series had, you know, really explored religion in a futuristic setting on television. You know, the idea was kind of up till then that by the time we get to the future, whatever future date that may be, that, you know, religion will have weakened to the point that it's no longer relevant. And then you had this series that took that and said, nope, we're not going to go that direction. We're going to look at, you know, oh, these people that live on a distant world and our galaxy have this whole faith system revolving around a wormhole. And whatever beings may live in the wormhole.
But that's an interesting theme and viewpoint to take, because even amongst modern culture, so many people think that religion is eventually just going to die out.
Right.
And become irrelevant. So I think it's important that Deep Space Nine challenged that thought and said, well, no, people are always going to have some kind of belief in something. Right. So what would that look like in the future?
Exactly. So, that's a good point. Bishop Ben?
Well, I was trying to think, you know, I was trying to remember on the, Deep Space Nine. Remember the lady, Kai? Remember the lady, Kai Wynn?
Right.
I used to think it was funny because she wore white and it reminded me of the Pope. and the monks had the habits.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of reminded me, like, is it a mixture of Catholicism?
It's a space form of Catholicism.
Right. So, you know, it made me wonder, you know, it used to intrigue me that they had similarities across the platforms of the TV shows.
Right.
Even the Ori from Stargate was something similar to the monk's habits.
Right.
That we wear today.
Right.
So you caught, you know, if you watch, some people would be rolling their eyes, but if you watch some of the episodes, you catch some of those similarities across different platforms. Even Star Wars was like that.
Right.
What's interesting is the word Jedi comes from the Hebrew language, which means chosen one.
Right.
And, you know, George Lucas was famous for taking, or famously stated that he was going to take a whole bunch of spiritual beliefs and faiths and religions and kind of throw them all together. And, you know, matter of fact, somebody, I have the book, I've never read it, but it's the book on, you know, faith, God, faith, and the Jedi, and looking at some of that. I think if it spurs conversation and it points us to re-examine our faith, to ask questions, I think it's a good positive thing. I know in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which you've referenced several times, Captain Sisko famously sat with his son, who they were having some religious quarrels that were affecting, you know, the whole station that they were on, the planet. And, you know, the son commented, who was in his teens, you know, that it was stupid for us to, you know, to have faith for those type of things that weren't seen. And Captain Sisko said, who are we to say that what someone believes is stupid or an error? And basically that the galaxy was so big and there's so many unknowns that we have to learn and grow, and how deep the galaxy is, and that we shouldn't make fun of people's faiths if they service them and help them grow and so forth. So, again, I always found it funny because you had a series that, again, Gene Roddenberry was trying to pull away from, you know, overall spiritual matters, but they still had a touch of that. In the original series, they had an episode, I think it was called Games and Circus or something like that, and they go to this world that had for some reason been patterned after the Roman Empire.
Right.
And the Roman Empire that never fell, and what it looked like if the Roman Empire had never failed. And there was a small group of people that were called sun worshipers. And the whole crew thought it was S-U-N worshipers. They worshiped the sun. And Lieutenant Uhura later filled them out and said, no, these people were attempting to spread the word of good news across the world, even though they were small and had to combat this large empire. She said it wasn't the sun in the sky, but the Son of God. And, you know, they realized that they were talking about Jesus.
Right.
So there's always been that let's explore faith and what does it look like when you mix it with everything and how does it balance out? And I loved Deep Space Nine for that standpoint because it really went there. Mm-hmm. And they weren't denying science. They were denying the lack of spirituality that spirituality should be absence from all that we know.
Right.
It should be combined.
There was a series, too, that I watched for a short period of time on television called Evil. I don't know if any of y'all ever got a chance to see it or not, but it was another one that kind of mixed pop culture and religion together. More specifically, they were hunting things that were evil in the world. And there have been plenty of those out there, plenty of exorcism shows. And there's a whole industry of, exorcisms and haunted houses and the whole nine yards that has really kind of reemerged over the years and taken television by storm of late. You can flip through Roku and see all the shows that talk about, you know, the dark side of religion, as it were. You know, the hunt for demons, the hunt for ghosts, the hunts for spirits. And how do you think that that affects people on a day-to-day basis, just watching them, Reverend Mark?
Well, I think for some people it feeds into solidifying their experiences. I think it, for other people, it puts a sense of wonder, you know, is this true? Is it just made up? Some folks, it's just complete entertainment. I think there's some elements of truth in those series, in those explorations. You know, based on my own experiences, I think that. And unbalanced, it can, or, you know, just in a vacuum, it can give that the spiritual side of things is only one thing. You know, it's only this. It's kind of like being raised in particular environments. If you never struggle, you think that everybody just should, you know, be dancing through life. If you're raised in an environment where there's constant struggle, you think there's never any peace or grace on the horizon. So I think if you feed on those things, whatever you feed on in your life, whether you focus on and constantly think about, you know, that becomes your reality.
Right.
That's a it's a Qui-Gon Jinn quote. Whatever right. your focus, whatever, you know, your focus determines your reality. And so I understand the creativity in the drama of how all that goes, but at the same time, it if you're not balanced in life, you think that that's all there is, and it's right. not. It's a very small portion.
Right. Father Matt, your thoughts?
I mean, I can, having grown up in the age of Supernatural, you know, that debuted when I was in, I think, sixth grade is when the first episode of that aired. And then rewatching it as I was going through seminary and some, it definitely opens your mind to seeing, okay, how much of the world of this is actually prevalent in our current culture.
Right.
How many people actually believe in these supernatural occurrences happening? People would actually spark conversations after seeing an episode and be like, is that really part of the Judeo-Christian thought? Like, angels came down and, like, had children with all these things. I'm like, yeah, that's actually a whole part of the Bible, discusses that with the David and Goliath and the Philistines and all of that stuff. You know, that's kind of a theme that pops up in the Bible. But as far as being open, it also opened people to different cultural expanses, too, when they talked about things like the origin of Christmas trees and the Green Man and that kind of stuff, you know, where all these different, what we would call old order religions came from and shaped the landscape. So it kind of threw all that into a melting pot and gave people a discussion piece to talk about different spiritualities.
And the intrusive thought just went through my head of, if we were to meet aliens, what form of Christmas would they have?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing pops into my head every so often, you know, the thoughts of that. And, I think that, you know, popular culture helps us to also struggle with those types of questions. You know, when I was younger, I don't remember who it was. One of the big preachers from the Trinity Broadcasting Network was always on there. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Made a comment that so many Christians would lose their faith if aliens appeared on Earth, you know, because of the way Christianity had basically formed this notion that, you know, we're it. We're the center of the universe. Humans are it. There's no other life out there. There's no other possibilities out there. And, so you know.
So Christianity didn't evolve beyond Galileo?
Exactly.
And Copernicus?
Exactly. And, I mean, his point was, you know, that, you know, pastors need to, you know, be more clear with their people in the age where they're watching these things on TV and be like, oh, that's BS. There are no aliens. God didn't say he created anything besides us, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it stuck with me because, you know, the reality is that there would be so many Christians that would lose their faith, I think, if aliens were to show up tomorrow. But I think shows on television that help us address those kinds of questions, those kinds of ideas. What if there are aliens on other planets? What if there are other life forms out there can work to strengthen our faith versus breaking it down? Because it gives us the ability to kind of think outside of the box, think outside of what we've been taught. It gives us a chance to, you know, really focus on the fact that God may have created so much more than what we know of. There's so many more possibilities out there than we give credit for.
I think the fact that we are still discovering things on our planet, mm-hmm. I think the fact that we are still discovering species and seeing different types of different types of things that can help us in our planet that we've not ever discovered or has been lost to us. I think that answers the question. You know, God in their creativity and their vastness is so beyond our thinking. You know, what's the scripture say? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think.
Right.
You know, I take that scripture. I hate to just yank scriptures, but I take that scripture and put it, it's like, why is that only if someone's preaching about God meeting a need for our life or God meeting, you know, a financial blessing I need? And that was always a scripture that was thrown at me when they were talking about money. And I'm thinking, why is that confined to one specific area where, you know, yes, God can do things that will meet our needs, but it's way beyond that. And I think that if we truly trust that God's word is beyond anything that we can comprehend, that there is life throughout our galaxy and universe, and there is stuff beyond us. Is it sentient? Are there other people on other planets? Are there many worlds like ours, or is it just us? Or,
right.
You know, are there, you know, creature, you know, are there, is there a planet where cats rule? I mean,
right.
Who knows?
Right.
You know, they pretty much rule around here, but but I think that it's small of us to step back and say that we're only it and there's nothing else out there. And, you know, I think all the deep space probes and all of the exploration vehicles that we've sent out of our galaxy, our universe, our their solar system, show us differently. I think it shows us the opposite, that there's way more out there than we can comprehend. And, you know, I'm not one that wants to limit God when it comes to that.
Right. There's also been a rash of movies that kind of explore the backside of not the backside as in the backside, but the behind the scenes, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, of religion. Movies like Conclave and Dogma. And there's another one that I can't, for the life of me, think of off the top of my head. That kind of discuss the other side of religion. And I personally took the opportunity to watch Conclave. I don't know how many of you all did, but it was a decent movie, although it showed what I believe to be a rather accurate representation of what happens behind the scenes in the Conclave. You know, we forget that these are human beings locked in a room doing a political process. Even though it's not supposed to be political, it is a political process. And it gives us the opportunity to kind of see the other side of religion to a certain degree. And I think it's important for movies like that. The central character in Conclave, the cardinal who ultimately ends up being elected pope, you see him discuss many of the same issues that we're going through today as weighing on his mind about who he's going to write down, whose name he's going to write down for pope. And I think that that's important to remember that, you know, even though they're locked away discussing, and we just went through this recently with the election of Pope Leo back in the spring, you know, even though they're locked away, they're not entirely disconnected from culture and from society around them, and they're very well aware of what's going on, and so they have to choose somebody they think will best represent it. And I think movies like that that help explain that process, help demystify it a bit, help people to understand the human component that goes into spirituality. Father Matt, your thoughts?
I personally did see Conclave. One of my favorite moments was the scene where the person eventually elected Pope stands up and dresses down the cardinals, because here they are arguing over something petty. And he starts out the monologue by saying, well, have you seen the ramifications of war? Because I have.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, this is like mind-blowing.
Right.
That here these men are fighting over petty squabbles over who's a traditional Catholic and who's an evangelical Catholic and who's a liberal Catholic, and they're all going at it based off of their party line. And here he's like, wait. We have bigger problems. We have bigger fish to fry than what liturgy we practice.
Right.
We have real world problems that we need to have an answer for. And I think that was a good census of where the ordinary person is when they take a look at the church today. Because you see so many people trying to play insider baseball,
right,
that they're kind of ignoring what the real world problems are.
I agree.
I thought of one that just the other day that wasn't necessarily billed as a, you know, spiritual religious movie, but I think it has a huge message at the compassion that humanity can have in the face of grotesque evil, and that is Schindler's List. A movie that shows what can happen when someone recognizes what humanity's doing to itself and that they need to step in and do all that they can to stop it.
Right.
And that the face of evil trying to cast that shadow on all of us, you know, Schindler's List is a very tough movie to watch. It's a very hard movie, but at the end, that's one of the things that I pulled away with, is the fact that in the midst of that, someone with compassion can stand up and try to not save every person, but to try to do what they can to save whomever they can. And, you know, if you get a whole bunch of people with that type of mindset, you know, you get into the multiplying factor and many people are saved and touched and helped. And that there's the capacity of good and grace inside of many people. Not everybody's horrendously evil, as was shown in that movie, right. You know, reflecting on World War II events. So, and I think sometimes movies like that can give us some hope spiritually in the midst of, the extremes that are discussed in that type of a movie, and then the chaos and the way the world is right now for us.
There's to piggyback off of Schindler's List, there's a series, a mini series in 2023 on Disney Plus and Hulu, which was called A Small Light. I don't know how many people got a chance to see it. It wasn't promoted very well, but it was a behind the scenes look at the life of Meep Geese. And Meep was a young lady. Her and her husband hid Anne Frank's and her family, as well as several other Jewish families, for years from the Nazi regime. And so it was another look at that scenario and situation from the perspective of the people who helped Anne Frank's, her family. And it also gave an opportunity to see kind of the religious dynamic behind their life and how difficult it was for them in some ways to even maintain their faith in that time period because of everything that was going on and everything that they had witnessed. And so those types of movies and series are necessary to help remind us not to repeat history, which definitely is needed these days more than ever before. Father Matt, your thoughts?
There's that one was actually hard for me to watch. Mm-hmm. Especially because so much of the hiding had to do with stripping away of people's Jewish identity. I mean, I think the scene that encapsulated that the most was when they had to dye the children's hair with hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
To smuggle them away and to get them to safety. And one of the little girl asks, you know, am I still Jewish because I have blonde hair? But, you know, it's stuff that kind of grabs your attention. Like, whoa, what are we, you know, like you said, what can we learn from this so we don't make these same mistakes now?
Right.
Moving forward. And we see that, you know, there's an attempt at stripping away a lot of people's identities, and cultures now that it's kind of like, well, when does the cycle end? When do we break the cycle?
There's a good movie too. It's a bit of a documentary, but, called American Heretic. If people have not seen it, I highly recommend it. And it looks at the rise of Christian nationalism in the world. And it also looks at some of the pop culture that goes into making that a reality, because that's the other side of it. You know, even though, you know, we've talked about a lot of different pop culture references that have a good religious aspect to it, there are also those out there that promote an ideology that runs against what we're taught in the Bible as far as trying to help shape this Christian nationalist worldview in people, which runs directly opposed to the Bible. You know, Jesus was not about building nations and empires. Jesus was about helping the poor, the widow, the orphan, those who are most in need in society, and helping to lift all of society up, not just the rich and the elite.
Right.
And so there are those movies, too, that are out there that are very helpful in uncovering some of that growth of Christian nationalism that we've seen over the past few years that desperately need to be more mainstream so that people can see them and understand what they are dealing with and how to best avoid those types of pitfalls.
Yeah, there's a great series called The Last Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And The Last Kingdom is about the struggles to bring England together. It was a the fractured groups and sects of England, and how the church was dictating and advising the leaders, and just the sheer lack of logic sometimes that people would reject just because a religious leader thought something was a good idea, and therefore they thought it was a good idea. It must be God's idea, and, you know, God wills it and all that type of stuff. And what you had was corrupt people embracing what they wanted and then trying to convince everybody else that it was God's idea. Okay. And many times you saw in the series of how, you know, the corrupt people would push people and there would be death that would be involved. And then how you had somebody who was not a religious person at all in the main character trying to do what was good and righteous. He had a lot of flaws in him, but more about doing what was good and wholesome. And so the Crusades should have taught us some lessons there.
Right.
You know, when the church gets involved to try to push agendas other than let's follow after Jesus, we get into those type of stories. And, you know, even though it's a drama, even though it's, you know, Hollywood, if you will, but it still is it's pretty accurate, and it portrays the dangers of us trying to harness power instead of leading by influence, by just being.
Right. Bishop Ben, your final thoughts for this evening.
Well, one comes to mind, it's very important to think, and it's very, I was thinking of St. Maximilian Kolbe, which is the diocese you named your diocese after.
Right.
And what he was well known for, and his selfless act of what he did in Auschwitz.
Right.
You know, you had to think, if he was able to do that, what can we do in today's society that we can be selfless acts?
Right.
And help out. You know, just keep in mind of what people like him have done in the past for us.
Right.
And today people look at what he may have done and look at what Jesus has done and call that woke.
Right.
People don't want to hear about woke Jesus or the Beatitudes or anything. But as clergy, how do we change that? You know, I guess we had to forge forward and try to change people's minds.
Right.
And show good acts of love and compassion.
Thank you, Bishop Ben. Father Matt?
Well, my mind also, we talked mostly about positives tonight, right? Except for a touch on, but it can also go in the opposite. You know, you have like TBN trying to influence pop culture and that kind of thing. We have authors like Tim Leahy, who came out with the Left Behind series. Spreading a particular agenda of theology as the only source of theology that people need to have. And it's kind of like, so there's a cautionary tale in there that we need to kind of go through where we're getting our sources for pop culture from. And if we're going to discuss religious themes, are we discussing and debating the right kind of religious theme to people that will draw them to question and seek deeper and more into the scriptures.
Excellent. Thank you. Reverend Mark, your final thoughts.
This probably opened a whole can of worms, but I briefly want to piggyback on something Bishop Ben said. We've got to just be Christ. I think the minute we start wading into the definition of, Jesus is woke or all that kind of stuff, we're immediately starting to put a wedge in people's minds. We've got to just preach and teach and minister and say, this is the example Jesus taught us, period.
Right.
Whether there's no other definitions to it. This is how God wants us to live. This is how God wants us to be, to follow after Jesus and to emulate Jesus. And it is hard for us not to wade into some of those things. Christ is Christ. There's no other definition that I can say, yes, he's radical for his day. No, Jesus was radical for all of time.
Right.
Hence why he came. And I like what Bishop Ben said, we just have to be and reflect and trust that God will show up to people's hearts that we touch.
I agree. And I think that it's important that we continue to watch these things that we see on television and movies and with a critical eye, but also with an open heart too, to the messages that they may portray, the questions they may ask. Doubt is not a sin. Doubt is not a bad thing. Doubt helps strengthen faith ultimately. Without doubt, how would we know what faith is, And so I think it's important. Even Jesus had his moments of doubt. He knelt in the garden and he questioned God the Father, let this cup pass from me, He cried out from the cross, why have you forsaken me, So even in the midst of all of that, the Son of God himself cried out in doubt at times. And so it's okay to have those moments, and it's okay for us to experience these things in popular culture that cause us to question deeper what our faith means and what we believe and why we believe what we believe. So it's important that we take care of that and do that. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. I don't have a topic for next week, but I will have one before next week. but I want to say thank you to Father Matt and Bishop Ben and Reverend Mark for being here tonight.
Thank you for hosting us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And yes. To all of our studio audience out there for joining us tonight, we hope that you all have a wonderful evening and that you'll join us again next week when we once again attempt to expand your faith. God bless. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright